Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the Ecom Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven and eight-figure store owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And today on the show, talking about something, this is going to be a short one for reasons I'll tell you just here in a minute, but I want to share some thoughts on what I think is going to become one of the more important marketing tactics as kind of the environment for getting attention online changes, and that is partnerships. Just some quick thoughts, a few experiences, and a few things to be thinking about why they think they're important and how to pursue them really well. But first, man, notes from the field, what's going on? I'm sitting in an electric rental car. Never get an electric rental car. Just a little pro tip here. Terrible. I have an electric car, a little one that I love for around town, but for vacations, awful. Horrible. So if you ever get the hard pitch for one at the desk, just stand. Don't be a victim. I'm not a victim. Stand your ground like I didn't, and I was a wimp. Anyway, I'm in an electric car recording this in Corfu, Greece. The last 3 weeks have been kind of a blur, and I recorded this once and listened to the audio, and I felt like I sounded so tired I had to come back in and re-record it because I was going to lose half of my listeners. But we a lot of stuff has happened. Decided as a family collectively, well, our family is moving. We moved from Tucson to Montana full-time. For reasons I'll talk about probably in another episode. But that took a couple weeks to do. We, you know, got everything moved, got up to Montana, and then about 2 days later, after we got settled, headed out for the second stage of our travels for the gap year with the family. So hopped on a plane, came over to Athens, spent a couple days there, came over to the island of Corfu, which I had never heard about. When I told my wife we were going to Corfu, she was very excited because apparently there's this Masterpiece Theater PBS show about a family that moves to Corfu. Actually pretty good. Watched a couple of the episodes here on Corfu, but was recommended by a good friend of mine. So I have a best friend, a very good friend, one of my best friends from growing up. And he grew up on a sailboat and he pitched the great adventure to take our kids, our three kids, his one son, on a boat for a week and sail around. So he's a captain, sailboat captain. So very excited to go do that. So we're gonna do that for a week. They're going to head off and go to Portugal and do some hiking with the kids along the coast, which will also be fun. I'm sure there'll be some weeping and gnashing of teeth on some of the longer days, but it'll be good. It'll be a fun time. Anyway, all that said, between moving and the trip coming up way too fast and red eyes, there's the glamorous picture a lot of times, I think, of like if you have an online business or if you have a business, you can set your own schedule and you can, you know, you work when you want, and then you relax when you want. Usually these videos are shot poolside in a lush place in Bali with the people talking about how much money they're making. And I just want to say, never does anyone show you recording the podcast next to a beat up red Fiat in a dilapidated kind of garage overhang from your rental car. That's okay, though. That's what it's taken this week to get it done. And excited to be doing the podcast, excited to be here. But man, just sometimes stuff it gets a little hectic. I'm sure if you're a business owner, you can agree. But that's the kind of the honest perspective from my world, trying to troubleshoot stuff, get stuff done where I can, and make everything work. So we'll be talking a little bit more about a gap year recap in the coming weeks, talk about the move in a couple of coming weeks, and also kind of from a perspective of lessons learned from kind of splitting time and living in two places. Going to be focused a little bit more on the amazing life style of, or trying to build an amazing rich life style of things, that tagline of the podcast the next couple of weeks, but partnerships this week. So I'm going to be jumping into that, and let's get into it. Okay, so before talking about why I think partnerships are going to be a pretty important or an increasingly important and attractive way to market your business and get attention for your business, think about the landscape we are in with the internet, with advertising, with attention. SEO is increasingly something that I know more and more people are kind of not even putting time and effort into because the returns have become so poor. Paid traffic is getting harder and harder than ever. AI optimization is something I think is promising, but is still very much nascent and it'll increase over time, but that's something that I think there's not a lot you can do there. Well, not tons that you at least can know how to do there yet. Still an early field. And I actually think the web, sadly, is going to be getting a little bit more insular in the coming years. When you think about where you get information, where you have sources that you trust, depending on how AI evolves, if it has credits or not, I think there's going to be potentially the case for less incentives for people to publish free content online for marketing if the AI is just going to spit it out. Although I have to say, I'm not quite as sure about that as I used to be, just because I've been noticing there's more and more attribution with the LLMs, ChatGPT and Claude, depending on which model you're using and how it's working. And also that, you know, if AI becomes the new Google, we've been increasingly noticing, and people in our forums have, you know, members in the ECF Econ Fuel community have been noticing more referral traffic from those LLMs. I think that was an encouraging sign that perhaps the incentive for creating great content isn't going to just disappear if that traffic can still come from the LLMs in some way or another. But all that said, regardless, it's getting significantly harder to get attention online. Newsflash, sure you haven't heard this before, sure you haven't experienced it in your business, kind of stating the obvious, but that sets the scene. And so I feel like one of the, you know, if you can partner up with established brands, of which there are increasingly fewer and fewer because it's harder for new entrants to break ground, partnering up with trusted, established players in your space or in complementary spaces is more important and more powerful and probably more cost-effective from an ROI basis than ever. And I think, you know, I think the proper way to build partnerships, you know, the first question I would ask is not how can we roll out a great partnership program? I would ask, who are the top 1 to 3 most influential people in your space that can help move your product? I think power laws are something obviously that apply to everything and especially for partnerships. And when I think about the partnerships that I've been involved with over the years, a couple come to mind. One, we recently rolled out a partnership with the Operators Network, the Operators Podcast, with Mike, Sean, Matthew, and Jason. They do a phenomenal job over there. If you're not subscribed to and listening to the Operators Podcast, it's 9-figure owners who hop on the horn every week and talk about what's going on. They are in the trenches in an incredibly deep way at a scale that is beyond most of us listening and just have some pretty great insights to share. And they're fun to listen to. Good guys. They also have a marketing podcast. They have a finance podcast. Econ Fuel's own Maytab Bogle is one of the co-hosts over there. Shout out to Maytab. Big fan of, big friend and fan of what he does, along with Drew on that podcast. But anyway, so we recently partnered up with them. And it's less than a month old, but already it's been an incredibly fruitful partnership for both of us. We're trying to help promote their podcast. They're trying to help promote our community. We're kind of doing a rev share for people that sign up. And it's great because they do marketing better than, you know, they can talk about running e-com businesses far better than I can with their experience. And we have a lot of depth of experience running communities. When I think about partnering with them versus partnering with half a dozen or a dozen other people, it's not even close. It makes more sense to partner with them as leaders in the space. Hey, it's Andrew here with a quick sidebar. I want to introduce you to Alex from OG.com, which is a high-end and very cool beauty brand. I actually got to know Alex recently at an event in Florida. And here's what he had to say about his experience with our private community for 7- and 8-figure store owners.
I've been really amazed and surprised how great the community is and how much I like the people in the group personally, but also professionally inspired by them, and how many like super successful entrepreneurs and businesses there are in the group in such a wide variety of niches and specialties, like things I never even thought of that could be a business are like people have these super massive, you know, multi 9-figure businesses going for these products and services. So I think just being this group of people that are really inspiring and have like experience going through a lot of the struggles and successes that we've gone through as business owners ourselves, or I have personally, and to kind of have that support and encouragement and someone to, you know, once I've made some personal connections in the group, especially to reach out to and ask questions about, you know, I found like kind of subject matter experts on various parts of a business that I can now, that I trust, I know they've done it themselves and I can reach out to them for advice and vice versa.
After hearing literally hundreds of comments like this over the last decade our community's been around, it's easy to offer our 10x guarantee. If you don't get at least a 10x ROI on your membership in the first year, in terms of increased revenue, saved time, and saved money, we'll give you a full refund plus an extra $1,000. But many of our members report seeing massive value in just the first month or two when applying it to their seven or eight figure business. You can learn more about the community and apply for membership at ecommercefuel.com. Okay, back to the show.
I think about when I started e-commerce Fuel way back in the day, partnered up with Shopify, and they were responsible for probably 40, if not 50% of the people who signed up for my early newsletter and early ebook opt-in, which helped me launch, get visibility for, and create and springboard off to the community and the podcast. And without them as a partner, I mean, I'm not sure I would have had the reach to get escape velocity for the momentum needed for the community early on. And they were, you know, obviously Shopify, you know, massive now. They were pretty big back then. So my point is, you don't need, you know, the first question you should be thinking about is, who are the most influential people in the space with them, or in your space that you can partner up with? And if you're already doing partnerships, or if you're not, if you're leading out, I think another question to ask is, where am I, or could I be spread too thin with my efforts here? You know, I think about people I know who have wholesale accounts and have hundreds and hundreds of wholesale accounts. And they've talked about how it's such a pain dealing with the, let's say the 200 accounts that barely order, but take up a lot of their time. And they really only have 10 to 15 accounts that make a difference. You know, I think that's a clear case for cutting those underperforming wholesalers and just sticking with your, you know, 10 to 12 people that just are killing it from an 80-20 perspective. That's something that we've made a mistake of on Ecom Fuel with partnerships recently in Mexico City for our retreat. We talked about how we have way too many SaaS partnerships. There's probably 20 or 30 that are really important to our community, and there's probably 150 to 200 that really aren't that important to our community, but we spend a lot of time on connecting with, publishing information about, et cetera, et cetera. So that's something we're going to be paring back in the future. So I really think being hyper-concentrated with your partnerships is important. The issue there is to be able to connect with, build relationships, and really become partners with a highly visible, highly authoritative, you know, brand or person in the space, you've got, that takes time, right? And so this is a very much a long game that you've got to start thinking about, and something you aren't going to probably be able to roll out. If you've got those relationships, great. If this is something you're doing strategically from the ground up, you might not see results for 3 to 6 to 12 months, right? When I think about that Shopify partnership, I use the word stalked as you know, kind of a tongue in cheek, but I actually wrote one of my favorite titles of any content I've ever written was a blog post on the Shopify blog called "The Stalker's Guide to Guest Posting," and it talked about step by step how I, you know, kind of creeped on the then editor of the Shopify blog, a guy named Mark McDonald, and convinced him to start letting me guest post for Shopify. And it kind of talked through how I engaged with them on Twitter and, you know, kind of realized, was trying to be very empathetic to what people were reading and pitched him stuff, articles I had already completely written from scratch. Anyway, it was very involved. It took months of time to do. And with every partnership, you know, the Operators Podcast or the Operators Network partnership I alluded to earlier, you know, Sean has been someone that has been our community and he's been someone that I've known for, you know, four or five years now. Maytab, the same way, a lot of interactions, met in person. It took years for that to come to fruition. So anyway, I think that's the second part about it, is it's something you got to start thinking about now. And there's no fast win here, unfortunately. And then I think the final thing to think about is, like, is the product that you are selling, that you are offering, likely a physical good, good enough that people are going to be excited to partner with you? And if you've got, I think a good litmus test for this is if you have great word of mouth, or if it's incredibly complimentary, new, novel, or interesting. And this is a hard one. Sometimes there's not something, it's not something that's going to be compelling, and that's something you've got to kind of have an honest conversation with yourself about. But it's a great litmus test for great products, like anything. It's you know, just like paid advertising, right? Like, a lot of times we try to think that great paid and creative is going to help us with our advertising campaigns. And to some extent, that's true. I mean, sometimes a great hook will just unlock an ad campaign and it will take off. But a phenomenal product is much easier to sell than a knockoff product or a Me Too product. So it kind of goes for anything in e-com, but we're saying for partnerships. So anyway, just a few things to think about. And in e-com, of course, pretty obvious how you can, well, you know, just quickly can go through a lot of ways you can make this work with a physical product. You can, if you have products that you can sample, you can pair those up with products going out with another brand or vice versa. You can do mailing list exchanges with your email lists, with your SMS lists. You can cross-sell each other's products and newsletters or any of those mediums, social media collaborations, et cetera. There's a lot you can do here. So really the hard part is not what you do. The hard part is building the trust and finding those brands to partner up with. So that's I'm not gonna preach at you for too long about this. These are kind of some quick thoughts from the road and want to keep them concise. The last thing I do want to end on though is connecting with people and how you think about, you know, I mentioned earlier that you should really be just trying to develop relationships with, instead of dozens and dozens of people, those top one, two, or three people that are gonna drive, that are just an incredible fit for you, and because they've got some market share and some market attention. But I do think having the judgment to know when to connect with people and when not to just is a difficult one in business. And for some reason, it kind of attached, this idea attached itself to me along with this discussion about partnerships. So when do you take calls? When do you hop on phone calls with people? You know, when do you focus and get the work done and tactfully decline? And I think that's a hard thing to know when to do. It ties into partnerships a little bit too, and just growing your network and connecting. Growing your network, that sounds like such a sleazy B2B LinkedIn conference thing to say. Building great relationships is slightly less terrible sounding. But the three frameworks I think that help me with this are, one, connect with people, obviously no-brainers, when there's mutual overlap to help each other. That's, you know, kind of goes without saying. The second one is connect with people, and this is a little bit more on the generous side when you're trying to not necessarily think about what's in it for you, but trying to pay things forward and be helpful, is connect with people who show that they are willing to put some effort and initiative into what they're trying to do. One of the big, probably the biggest change I have made in my personal decision-making process around helping other people happened this last 2 years. And I've decided I'm not going to help people that I can't tell are actively willing to help themselves move in the direction that they want. I've had a couple of experiences that just taught me you can't make people change. You can't want something for people. That's just because something that I think they've really internalized in how I operate as a human with other people. That being said, if I see people who are moving towards something, willing to take steps, willing to sacrifice a little bit, willing to do things on their own first, even if just a little bit, I will often spend a meaningful amount of time helping them. And I think that goes with connecting with other people too. And then finally, if there's people that I just want to meet that I think are interesting, if for no other business purpose or even, I don't know where it's going to go, but that just scratches a little itch on my brain that says, that person's doing some cool stuff. I will always make time for that because it's fun. It keeps things interesting. It keeps, you know, you never know where any of those conversations or people can go, but those are always it's fun to connect with people sometimes with zero business interest just for the sake of, in fact, you think it might be a good relationship. Anyway, little sidebar, but those are the three ways I think about how do you know how to balance connecting with people, talking to people, with actually getting stuff done. So thoughts on partnerships. Again, don't do too many. Just find the top one or three people in the space. Have the patience to invest in them. And over time, you'll build something that, again, the only thing better than your own owned assets are being able to piggyback off of the owned assets and audiences of other people you like, know, trust, and that are in front of an audience that is a real great fit for you. So that's it for this week's edition of Electric Rental Car Ecom Fuel Podcast. The Forge What Matters segments. This is a casualty again of three insane weeks of, you know, not getting as much done as I can and falling short here. I love those. I'm going to keep doing those, but probably taking a little bit of a hiatus for the next 4 to 6 weeks on those. But hopefully we'll have a few stories to share after we get back from this trip here. And then be able to really, really hunker down and dive into a lot of stuff I've been very excited about working on. But anyway, more about that in the future. I think that's it for now. Thanks for listening. Work hard, adventure often, and looking forward to seeing you again next Friday. If you're an entrepreneur who wants to connect with other experienced owners who are working to build a financially vibrant business alongside a rich, meaningful life,
Head on over to ecommercefuel.com to learn more and connect with 1,000 entrepreneurs just like you. Work hard, adventure often, and forge what matters. Look forward to seeing you again next Friday.